I want to share with you today about a subject, where eagles gather. Where eagles gather. Tell somebody, where eagles gather. Amen. It's a high place. You've heard me say buzzards and eagles don't fly together. And you got to get away from the buzzards, amen, because they're studying up stuff that's dead. They conjuring up some wrong stuff, and it don't smell so good. So you got to start hanging out with the right folks. Have you ever noticed that when there is something dead, you don't just see one buzzard. Come on. Oh, the bigger that stink is, the more buzzards show up. Oh, y'all got weak that time, but that's all right. The bigger that stink is, the longer it's been dead, the more rotten it is, the more buzzards show up. Passing by our carcass one time, I saw about 8 buzzards. I had to slow down before they forgot that I was in the car. But are you listening to what I'm saying? The buzzards cannot handle what eagles eat, amen, because number one, eagles can always gather something with life in it. Buzzards don't want nothing with life in it because he's sitting waiting on something to die. Buzzards are already waiting on something to give up the ghost. Buzzards are already waiting on something to be discouraged. Buzzards are already waiting on something, sitting around waiting on something or someone to give it up and throw in the towel. I remember the old western days when the cowboys on the pictures would get shot in the desert and there was no sustenance and no water, nothing to sustain them and nothing to carry them on. I really feel the power of God right now. I remember watching those, and I get a message out of things a lot of times that I'm watching. It's not all sin. You just have to weigh it all out and know what to look at. So here's a western, here's a cowboy. He's wounded. He's out in the middle of the desert. He has no water, and his eyes are getting dim. Amen. So he's out there, and the little water in his body, he's sweating profusely. It's coming forth out of him what he could have kept. He's losing. And now he's about to die. But the filmmaker makes it all interesting. When he's on his way out, there comes a vulture flying around, waiting until he takes his last breath. And that's the way it is in the church a lot of times. And you know, I don't have a problem with people who know that they're club people and they're winos and alcoholics and crack addicts. They're not the ones that will bother you. But you got to watch church buzzards, baby. Let me tell you something. You got to watch church buzzards. Because all they're doing is flying around waiting on you to die. Waiting on you to say I'm tired. Waiting on you to say I quit. Waiting on you to say I'm going to stay at home. Waiting on you to say I'm tired of loving. Waiting on you to say I'm tired of giving. Honey, you got to watch these church buzzers. The only way you're going to be an eagle is get away from the church buzzers. Come on, somebody. But I tell you, when I look around and see what God is doing, when I look around and see the elevation upon the people, and when I see the tenacity and the generosity and showing love, and when I see people comforting one another and loving one another, when I see people encouraging one another and texting one another and emailing one another and saying, I got your back and I'm standing with you and I know you're going through. Hey, don't make no mistake. That's not a buzzard. That's an eagle. That's an eagle text. You. That's an eagle talking to you on the phone and telling you you can make it. That's an eagle sitting next to you and telling you to get up and run and don't look back. That's an eagle that's telling you, honey, you looking good and I don't care what nobody says. That's an eagle saying, I got your back and I'm going to hold your hand and I won't let you fall. That's an eagle. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. That's an eagle that says, I'm walking with you. That's an eagle that says, I see what you're going through. I see what you've been through. And I'm going to help you go through the next phase of your elevation. I'm going to help you go through the next phase. I'm going to help you get past what you couldn't go through. I'm going to help you. I'm going to hold your hand. Baby, that ain't no buzzer. That's an eagle. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Let's look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse number 28. And the Bible says, as you find it, I will begin to read. Have thou not known? Has hast thou not heard that everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Somebody say, but. Tell somebody, but. After the but, there's a blessing, church.
Yeah.
But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, semicolon.
Yeah.
The reason, see what you got to understand, when God is trying to renew your strength, we forget that we once had strength when we're weak. It's easy to forget that you once were strong when you're weak, because when you're weak, it seems like you ain't never been here. Come on. When you're weak, I mean really weak, when you really get down, it seems like you're at a place you've never been before. When people start hating on you and talking about you and putting stuff in your path for you to stumble over, it seems like you never had stuff like this coming against you before. When the enemy is fighting you on every hand and he's trying to destroy that relationship and trying to destroy that marriage and trying to destroy your spiritual relationship with sisters and brothers in the Lord, right in the middle of that thing, it seems like you've never been through that before. But he said, I want to renew, which means I want to make over. I want to do it again, what I once did for you. Oh, come on, somebody. And what I love about God, when he restores me, I'm greater than I was. He don't just give me the same thing, but he gives me that and greater. So if you're waiting on God to tear me down, just watch me go down and come back up. Because when I come back up, I'm going to be somebody else. When I come back up, I'm going to have something else. I'm going to have more than I started with. I'm going to have more than they took away from me. You just sit back and watch. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And it's peculiar that he would say, the writer would say, they shall run after he says mounting up with wings as eagles. It seems that if I mount up, I have no reason to run or walk. Amen. Are you listening? It seems that if I mount up with wings, why should I have to run and walk? But what the writer is trying to get you to understand, you may not always fly. There's a season that the eagle has to come down sometimes. There's a season that the eagle has to rest upon a solid rock. And are you listening to what I'm saying? There's a season that the eagle goes through a few struggles in his body. And when he gets sick, he goes on a fast and allows his body to be purified. There's a season that the eagle lays up on a rock out in the sun. And you heard the man last night, the sun has healing properties. There's a reason. You can't always look in the sky and see the eagle. Sometimes the eagle has to walk. Sometimes he has to run. Where are you today? What position are you in? Are you in flight, or are you walking, or are you running? And I tell you, if you're walking, the Bible says, you shall walk and not faint or not get tired. You shall run and not be weary. You will run not from the adversary, but you will run for the Lord. Too many people running from the enemy. Too many people trying to run from their trials and their tests, rather running to their temptations. Child of God, ain't no point in running to your temptations when it seems that your trials and your tests are overriding you. You run from temptation, but you run the race with patience as you go through trials and tests. And he promised, if you wait on me, wait on me while you're on the ground, and after a while you'll be able to fly. Wait on me while you're running for the Lord, not from the enemy, and after a while you'll be able to mount up. One thing I understand about an eagle, he flies higher than the average bird. Oh, there are certain levels in certain seasons that the eagle can fly or needs to fly. There's a reason to go up 20,000 feet. Come on, somebody. And there's a reason sometimes to stay at 1,000 feet. When you're at 1,000 feet, you're on your way down to land because God's got a purpose and a place for you to walk in certain seasons. Sometimes you got to go through some stuff on the ground, but he'll provide what you need right on the ground. And there's a season where he elevates you up to about 25,000 feet. And the reason for that is because the good master knows that down the road there's a storm coming. And you don't know why he's taking you higher. But what he'll do, child of God, before you even see the storm, he'll let you sense the storm. How many times have you envisioned or dreamed things? And you didn't see it, but he lets you sense it. How many times you feel in your spirit to take the long route and not the short route, only to find out there was a car wreck on the short route, and God allowed you to go the long route. Oh, come on, somebody. You may not see the storm all the time, but he'll let you sense the storm. And after a while, you'll begin to fly. And you'll begin to soar up about 25,000 feet. And then, lo and behold, he gives you good vision. You see, you need to understand that an eagle has the best vision of any bird. He can see for miles and miles away. And in what God does, a child of God has good vision. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord, he will give you good vision. You won't have to wonder where you're headed. He'll say, there's a storm, but it's not going to affect you. He says, here it comes, but I give you the ability to fly high above it. It's going to come beneath you. But you've already mounted up. Somebody bless him. The letter that I read this morning to you is the strength. It's the fuel. Not only the Lord, but the encouragement from the saints of God. It's the wind beneath my wings. And the eagle takes advantage of the winds. The wind beneath his wing becomes a tool in his hand, so to speak. And he takes advantage of the current. And while the wind is blowing, he don't have to flap and struggle so hard. He can just glide every now and then. To go higher, he'll make a flap. But the wind is what encourages the eagle. It's the wind that encourages him and reminds him of who he is. It reminds him of his ability. It's the wind beneath his wings that reminds him no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and all that rise against you, it's going to fall. It's the wind beneath my wings. Sometimes, not only the eagle, but many birds, when they have a problem in their digestive tract, instinct allows them to eat small stones. Whatever it does, it fixes the problem. It's not tasty, but it'll fix the problem. A lot of times the Lord will put things in front of you while you're not soaring. They're not tasty, but they will certainly fix the problem. Come on, somebody. I want to share a few things with you. Let me tell you something about young eagles. Young eagles quickly learn to feed themselves. Quickly. Or the birds, the mother and father have to come and shove it down their throats. But when they mature, they learn to pick it up on their own. Why won't the church grow so that the pastor don't have to shove it down their throat? Why can't you mature so that you can see it and have the wisdom of God to pick it up on your own? And won't nobody have to always tell you where it is? You got eyes of an eagle. You said, there it is, there it is, there it is. And I came for my stuff. Come on and praise him, somebody. Matthew 5 and 6 says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He'll teach you how to eat early if you get hungry early. The Bible says, they that seek me early shall find me. Not only before day in the morning, but before the trouble comes. Don't wait till you get in trouble and start calling on the Lord. Don't wait till all hell break loose on you and start calling on the Lord. Don't wait until you get to church and start calling on the Lord. You need to call on him at the four-way stop. You need to call on him in Walmart. You need to call on him in school. You need to call on him on the job. You need to call on him while you're lying in the bed with your spouse and not getting along. You need to call on the Lord. Come on and praise him. Somebody needs to call on the Lord today. Hallelujah. God is good. You going to call on him? Call on him. I need you, Jesus. That's one old Baptist hymn, and it may not even be a Baptist hymn. I refrain from saying that, but I heard the Baptist singing, I need thee, oh, I need thee. And it means so much to me. Every hour, I need thee. Bless me right now, my faith. Why? I come to thee. That is a prayer if it was no other prayer. That is a prayer. I say that is a prayer. When you don't know nothing else to pray, say, I need you, God. What a prayer. Amen. What a prayer. I'm going to say another thing with you. Remember this, church. Eagles are born amazingly with their eyes open. Are you listening? Eagles are born with their eyes open. The Lord, unlike puppies and other animals, they're born with their eyes closed. And I think for weeks they're blinded and they have to sense the milk of the mother and go to her and cats and dogs. But the eagle is born with his eyes open because God has to start the visionary process early. And I'm thinking of a scripture. Here it is, Ephesians 1 and 17. God is good, isn't he? And it says, well, let's look at 16 to make it even clearer. Cease not to give thanks for you making mention of you in my prayers. This is Paul at Ephesus. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Everybody knows what revelation is. Something revealed that you did not know. Amen. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ
when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. When you got Jesus, you got everything.
Listen, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in him. Let me tell you, when God saves you, your eyes come open. When you're born, your eyes come open. Now, I don't mean born at birth, amen, through the birth canal, but when you're born in the Lord, when you're born again, when you come into the newness of God, the eyes of your understanding are enlightened. You all of a sudden get a revelation. Somebody's living inside of me. I ain't quite sure about this, but something's going on. There's a change that's come over me. I don't want to do what I used to do. I don't want to say what I used to say. I don't want to go where I used to go. I don't want to drink what I used to drink. I don't want to lie like I used to lie. Why? Because I'm no longer as I was when I was born. My eyes came open.
My mind goes automatically to Saul. And what the Lord does is use our steadfastness in other things, and he transforms them to spiritual things. Amen. Saul was on his way to Damascus to torment and persecute Christians. Amen. He was dead set. He had his spiritual GPS, if you please, locked in. He was on the way, pinpoint, knew where he was going. But on the way, he had a rebirth. And just like a new eagle, his eyes came open. And he said, a light shined upon me I could not see. It knocked me off of my feet. And when I got up, I was another man. Do you understand? The reason some folk don't know what to think is because they don't know what they're looking at. People don't know how to think things because they don't know how to envision things. Somebody say, how did you think of that? Because I have a vision. And I saw it before I ever did it. Oh, glory be to God. The Bible says the worlds were framed by faith. And the Lord God Almighty, oh, the Creator, he had a vision. And he said, let there be, and it was. He said, I see some dirt. I see some water. I see trees. I see alligator, coons, and possums. I see snakes. I see elephants and giraffes. Let there be. Not only did he have the vision, but he gave the man Adam the vision. And he began to name what the visionary called, what would call him. Amen. What the visionary made, the person with the vision could call. He said, I'm going to let you name them. I've already created them. Come on, somebody. And when he got to that eagle, he couldn't make no mistake. When he got to that eagle, he had to describe him as he was. When he got to that eagle, he had to describe him, one with large spans of wings, reaching about 15 feet. One has a big nest, able to build a nest about 20 feet in diameter. When he got to that big eagle, he had to describe him as he was. And in the presence of the Lord, the enemy shows up. And when the enemy shows up, who's an accuser of the brethren, God has to describe you as you are. That's my child. That's my son. That's my boy. That's my daughter. Come on, somebody. He described me as I was. He once was lost, but now he's found. He once was blind, but now he's reborn, and now his eyes have come open. He sees stuff that he wouldn't have never seen until he came to the knowledge of the Lord. Some of y'all see stuff in the Word that if it had not been for the blood, if it had not been for the blood, you wouldn't have known what John 3:16 meant. But because the blood was shed, automatically God put a seed on the inside and he began to stir up something in you. High five somebody and say, I got it. I got it, I got it, I got it. Oh, I got it. Let me get my last point across to you. Eagles are very intimidating. However, they don't mean to intimidate. I'm going to say that again because somebody missed it. Eagles are very intimidating, but they never mean to intimidate. They're intimidating because they are a threat to every other fowl. They are intimidating because the other fowls have to go somewhere and be still, but when a storm comes, they can fly up high, and it tends, if they were people like us, it would lead to a little bit of jealousy. How is it that in the middle of a storm, the same storm that I went through, you went through, but if you went up higher, how is it? How is it that you feel the same pressure that I feel? The Apostle Paul says we suffer the same affliction of those in the world. How is it that when you deal with your stuff, you go up so high and it never touches you? But when I deal with it, I have to stay at a certain level and feel all of the stuff that's coming after me. How is it that I have to deal with all of the negativity and all of the things that the storm brings with it? Why do I have to stay at a certain level? Because you choose to be a buzzard. You be a buzzard by choice. I be an eagle because I have opportunity. You had an opportunity to be an eagle, but you were so concerned.